Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tyler. I'm the lead pastor here, and it is my pleasure to introduce to you this morning our guest speaker. He's going to continue our series on real life faith, and he is the National Director of Threshold Ministries, which is an organization that promotes evangelism in Canada, and this is their mission statement: to bring anyone, no matter what their background, into a living relationship with Jesus and his people. He's also the chaplain at Richview Residence. He is on the Elders Board here at Richview, and he's God's messenger to our hearts this morning. Would you please welcome with me Jonathan Clark.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you for this opportunity. It is indeed a great privilege to be here with you this morning. As Tyler said, my name is Jonathan, and I feel like I've been on timeout. I've been locked away in my house since March last year, and then I came out last summer, and they said, no, back in timeout. So it just feels like I've been away for a while. So it really is a privilege to be here. And I just wanted to say, just to the worship team, who week after week come, volunteer, produce songs in the midst of like stressful times it was this morning because nothing was working, and they bring us into God's presence in such a great way every week. And so thank you, guys. Thank you for all you do. Tyler introduced us to Threshold Ministries, and he told us about the mission statement, which is the first part of my sermon. So we're done with that. But I just wanted to say part of our work involves, we work in churches in Canada promoting evangelism. We also work, we have a number of street ministries, so we're on the street, and we also work in the prisons. And all that is done with the purpose of introducing people to Jesus. And so in our work, we encounter a lot of brokenness. And we found that if we can create community and celebrate each other in our brokenness, that we're on the road to creating a healing family. So that's what we're doing here at Richview, and that's what we're doing at Threshold. And so let's just pray for a minute that God would speak to us this morning. Father, we just thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, this is just ink and paper and the thoughts of men, unless, Lord, they are inspired by the power of your Holy Spirit. So we invite your Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, come and be with us this morning. Touch our hearts. We don't want to be taught by Jonathan. We want to be taught by you. We thank you for your presence with us this morning. In Jesus' name. In the scripture we're about to read, we'll meet two people who are influenced by God. Philip, a servant of God, who is obedient to God's word, and as a result brought many people into a relationship with Jesus. The other, an unlikely character, an Ethiopian eunuch, searching for a relationship with God, but really rejected by the Jewish religious establishment at the time because he was different. And that leads us to a question: how are we doing at Richview at welcoming those who are different? Different by maybe race, culture, language. And we can ask ourselves, are we a welcoming community? Recently, Kathy and I invited a young lady to come and live with us, Abigail, and her 5-month-old son. And we've done what we thought was quite a lot of work in talking about cross-cultural bridges, reading up about racial relations. But when somebody from another culture comes and lives with you, you find out that you may have to be far more accommodating than you originally thought. You come face to face with cultural difference, and the prejudices that you may have in you that you didn't even know existed. Let's read Acts 8, 26 to 40. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Kandake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone down to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Let's just take a look at these two people or characters more closely. The eunuch. Eunuchs are not really a typical topic of conversation today. The man's condition is a reflection of the brutality of an age gone by. Although, you can still find eunuchs today. Eunuchs could be slaves or enemies that were castrated to subdue them, punish them, or make them safe for some kind of duty like looking after the king's women. They were largely despised in the societies in which they lived. One historian described them as worthless persons. This man, however, had risen above all that and gained status in his society. He was a representative of the Queen of Ethiopia, and he'd come a long way to Jerusalem, 500 miles approximately, to worship the God of the Hebrews. And when he got there, he would have found that he was an outcast. As a eunuch, he would not have been allowed full privileges in the temple. In Deuteronomy 23:1, it says, "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord." So he would never have got into God's presence in the way he'd hoped. He was excluded from the synagogue, even if he was an adherent to Judaism. So it's rather like traveling 500 miles to come to Richview and then being told you've got to stay in the car park. However, this man was hungry for God. On the way, he was reading aloud from Isaiah, and maybe the scripture came alive in his hands as he read about another suffering servant. As he read, "In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. His heart must have leapt inside him as he read about someone who'd understand exactly what his life experience was. And he wanted to know more about that person. Having traveled a long way to meet the God of the Hebrews, he was turned away because of rules and religion. And I just want to take a glance at what Jesus said about including others. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Jesus is telling us, get used to different. We're not only to welcome fellow Christians, we're to welcome everyone. And it's easy to welcome people who like us, but what about those who are different? Those who are different, maybe so different that they don't even know Jesus. Welcoming those who have nothing in common with us should be a distinguishing mark of who we are. When Kathy and I first arrived in Canada, we spent a few weeks looking for a church. And we went to a few, and they weren't very welcoming on a Sunday. We walked in and walked out without talking to anybody. And then we went to one church in Oakville, and they really welcomed us in. And after the service, a couple invited us to go to their house for lunch, and we spent the afternoon with them and their family talking about South Africa and Canada and how we were doing. And because of that lunch, we decided we'd go back the next Sunday. That's the church where we did Alpha, and a few months later made a commitment to follow Jesus. That is the church where we connected with people who encouraged me to go into ministry. So that welcoming act of that couple changed our lives. In the eunuch's case, he was rejected by the community. But thankfully, God, who is a welcoming God, had another plan. God sent Philip. Who is Philip? Philip was one of the seven who were selected as officials or deacons in the early church in Jerusalem. And that's a story that's in Acts 6. When the church suffered persecution and Stephen was martyred, Philip went to Samaria, where his ministry was very successful. That appears just before the story in Acts 8. And then we get to the story we've read. And here we read, an angel of the Lord tells Philip where to go. As well as the Holy Spirit directed Philip to go to the chariot and stay near it. Clearly, Philip's relationship with the Spirit of God was so good that he could discern what God was telling him to do. Let's take a look at what we can learn just from that little interaction with Philip. Divine guidance can sometimes defy logic. Philip was running a very successful ministry in Samaria. Everything the early disciples had hoped for was happening in Samaria. And he's asked to leave and go to the desert road. Even when things are going well and we're feeling comfortable, God can ask us to move out in faith. And Philip was faithful and moved out and allowed God to lead him in ways which defied a human view of things. How are we allowing God to lead in our lives? Or are we so busy that we miss the opportunity entirely? Another thing that happened is we find that Scripture opens people's hearts. This man had some chutzpah, as Joe would say, right? He'd not been put off by what he'd experienced in Jerusalem. In fact, he was reading Scripture as he traveled home. And as he read the scroll of Isaiah, his heart would have longed for the God who wrote it. Scripture connects people's hearts. In these passages, the eunuch would have read of Jesus, who was taken from the earth without any descendants, and thought about his own situation. A few chapters later, in Isaiah 56, it says, "And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever." Scripture connected to his heart. Philip was ready to obey the Spirit of God, and that's how we must be too. The Spirit told Philip to go near the chariot and stay near it. And we don't know how the Spirit told Philip, but clearly he felt prompted to go near the chariot. He was ready to listen, to be directed. And we hear that Spirit through developing our relationship with God. And Johnny gave us a sermon a couple of weeks ago on how that can be done. It's also good for us to know Scripture. So when an opportunity arises, we can help explain that to a seeker. In this case, God had set Philip up pretty nicely. He was able to start with Isaiah 53, which is part of this passage. That prophesies the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And tell him the good news about Jesus. And when we obey the prompting of the Spirit, we can bring clarity and insight to those seeking the truth. Philip was able to hear the Spirit, and a man was saved. Just think what God could do if you said yes. Philip said yes, and look what happened. He was led to Samaria by persecution. He was led to the desert by an angel. He was led by the Spirit to the chariot. He explained the good news, and a life was changed by Jesus. He's then carried away by the Spirit to Azotus. He's carried away by the Spirit to Azotus. He preaches in the towns, in the surrounding towns. He then goes to Caesarea. And in Acts 21, Paul, on his way to Jerusalem, visits Philip, who now has four daughters, and he stays with Philip. And so none of this was planned by Philip. All he did was say yes to help out with the daily distribution of food. He submitted himself to the task completely, and God turned it into a beautiful life of service. The truth is, God can do that in my life and yours. He can use you for his glory if you submit to him and build a strong relationship with him. Sometimes at the word evangelism, we all go, and I wonder why that is. I think we understand our job is to share the gospel message, but sometimes we feel overwhelmed or fearful or intimidated or not equipped. And the power of the Holy Spirit is the answer for us. The Spirit has come to give us power to evangelize. And think of sharing your faith in this way. Wherever you go, the Spirit of God who lives in you goes too. And when you go to the mall, God goes with. You don't have to have an agenda. But we do have to be open to the Spirit of God and his leading. We could pray, "Lord, if you've got something for me to do today, I'm ready, but you're going to have to open my eyes." If that's your prayer, why would God not answer that? He's living in you. You are the presence of God going into your community. I was on a call this week with a friend of mine who is a church army evangelist in the United Kingdom, and he teaches a, evangelism course, which talks a lot about relational evangelism to young people, and it's called Envoy. And he shared the story. Hannah was a young girl who just completed the Envoy course, and she worked in a coffee shop. And during a slow time in the coffee shop, she decided she'd write down all the names of the people she knew who didn't know Jesus. One of the names she wrote down was a girl named Sarah, who just happened to be working the same shift as her. Sarah came up and said, "What are you writing down?" So she said, "I'm writing down all the names of the people I know who don't know Jesus." Well, Sarah said, "Well, why? Why would you do that?" And Hannah said, "Well, I'm writing their names down. I know Jesus, and I'd like God to help me be known as a person who really cares about the people on this list." Sarah said, "Wow, I didn't know Christians were like that." Customers came in and they stopped talking. They didn't get an opportunity to sit down and talk again. But Hannah felt God prompting her during her shift that she should give all her tips that she earned to Sarah. And she wrestled. She said, "I need the money, Lord. Like, I need it." But in the end, she did decide to give her tips to Sarah. And Sarah just burst into tears when she gave her the money. She desperately needed it. Over the coming months, or the following months, Hannah was able to help Sarah understand what a relationship with Jesus looked like and connect her to a local church. Hannah relied on the Spirit, and God led. So the question is, how are we doing at sharing our faith and welcoming others at Richview? Are we like the Jewish religious community, or are we like the couple who invited Kathy and I to their home? I want to finish with a short video about another person who was able to welcome everyone into his home, including his enemies. But first, I'd just like to close in prayer, and then we'll watch the video. Father, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that you allow us to collect with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I just pray that you would influence us in our lives to be a welcoming, Spirit-filled community that is known for bringing people into relationship with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.